Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with soprano Beatrice Baer, who came to the studio to talk about the music of her father, Joseph Baer. In particular, his operetta, Polish Wedding, now available on a recently released CD. I asked her first about her mission in promoting his music.
You know, in general, I feel like my mission or my life purposes and mission is to make sure by the time I leave that the music is established in the standard repertoire played all over the world. This is a major 20th century composer. If the events of the Shoah, the Holocaust, had not happened, his name would be a recognized name in the world of opera. So it's a challenge for me and my family, my sister, my mother, till she passed away recently. That was her life mission.
So let's talk about your father. He was born in 1908.
Yes. He was born in 1908, had me late in life, my sister and I. And then he was born in a little village called Chodorow, which was Poland. And then his family moved to the bigger city of Lwów, which was Poland also back then.
And he was a very musical child. He was trying to create his own notation.
Yes. By the time he was seven, that's basically when, I guess, that's when his passion started, which only ended with his death in 1987.
And he went to law school for a year?
Yes, exactly. So to make his parents happy, they were insisting, please be a lawyer. So he said, okay, Dad and Mom, I'll make you happy. I'll go to law school. And after 1 year in law school, which he did not study the whole year, he composed. And the last day of, before the exams, he studied on the way to the school. And he passed. But then they had a family meeting. And there his mother insisted, let Joseph go to Vienna to audition at the Hochschule für Musik, which was like the Juilliard of its times. So my father went. And, being Jewish and Polish, there were quotas. So he not only was admitted, but he was admitted into the master's degree level. He skipped the first 4 years, and Joseph Marx, who was a very prestigious compositional teacher, accepted him in his master classes and basically was his mentor to launch his career.
So he had a first opera premiered in 1934 in Zurich. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was his career like in those days?
It was booming. It was Prince Franciszek toured Europe, was played at the Teatr Wielki, which is the Met of Poland. It was being played everywhere.
And Polish Wedding. This was his second major work.
Yes.
And this premiered...
Yes, exactly, at the Zurich Opera House, too,
in 1937. And then everything fell to pieces.
Yeah, 11 months later, which is amazing because you think Polnische Hochzeit was played, premiered. Actually, that's one of the special things on April 3rd, which is today, 1937. Yeah, it premiered at the Zurich Opera House in 37 and then went again, sweeping across Europe. And that was an even bigger success than Prince Franciszek, played in, my father wrote in his own biography, which I have here, a one-pager, 40 stages, some of them major. And translated in those days, they would translate all the operas, so in 8 languages. You're talking about 11 months. There were plans for a premiere with Richard Tauber, the major tenor of his days. Martha Eggert and Jan Kipura were going to premiere at the Châtelet in Paris. A cute anecdote I just quickly mentioned, my father, would go every morning to have breakfast in a cafe in Vienna. And, in Vienna, they have those newspapers hanging by a wood rod. He said there was not a day when there would not be a review of Polnische Hochzeit from some part of the world.
And then we know that he had to flee to Paris and go into hiding in Nice. And
his
family was killed, mm-hmm. and his librettist was killed, and mm-hmm. he withdrew from, society for a
exactly.
while.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it was understandably very traumatic and difficult to come back from.
Yeah.
And then he did get married and had you and your sister. How many works survived of his?
Great question. Because originally there was Prince von Schiras, the first work, then Polnische Hochzeit, Polish Wedding, the second work. Those are the major works. Prior to that, when he was a teenager, he had orchestrated ballads by Brahms. And then he wrote a bunch of basically orchestral works, most of which are lost, save for one when I went to Vienna a few years ago when there was a revival. I went to Universal Edition, which is known as Universal today, which is a major publishing house. Pre-war, it was the publishing house of the days. Mahler was published there, all the major Viennese school composers. A lady there, a wonderful person, found a work he had written pre-war, which was only orchestra called triptych. My father called it a jazz symphony. So it's like a 12-minute piece, and it was supposed to have been a great success too. But a lot of it has been lost, so.
This work, Polish Wedding, obviously means a great deal to you. Can you describe it and talk about what you love about it?
It's twofold. He wrote it in 3 weeks. He whipped it out, toying with the genre. You know, some people put it in the genre of operetta. I want to say it transcends the genre, just like, you know, like Fledermaus nowadays, you know, we just play it. And his teacher, Joseph Marx, wrote a letter to him right after Prince von Schiras, the first similar work, saying, your technique composition is so serious and so deep, you have such mastery of it, that you totally go, was sehr berühmte Operettenkomponisten nicht können. You are going way beyond what established operetta composers can do. And all this to say that this was the youth work composed in 3 weeks, and his style drastically changed afterwards. You know, and of course, like, during the war, he wrote Stradella in Venedig in hiding all the music, you know, hearing all the music in his head. And I feel like he aged like 20 years in 3 years, you know. His style totally changed. So this work, my father just wanted to forget it, partially because his roots, we don't know why, but he never talked about it, didn't want to. But so we love it just because I feel this is, in French we say génie en herbe, which means the it's there in seed, you know, the master is there.
You get to feel as if you know a little bit more about your father when he was young and
totally.
What he thought about and what he dreamt about.
yeah, totally. Susan, it's so perfect. Through his music, like post-mortem, I discovered so much about my father.
How would you describe the style of it?
It's a mix of genre. That's where I feel my father was still finding his way. The beginning reminds you of, to me, Brahms or the great, profound, sweeping melodies, you know, you find in the Romantic era. And then you do have operetta, like gay light, you know, but, you know, just as a rule, my father was just not a light person. You also have klezmer in it, a little bit touches of klezmer, you know, and that's one of his quotes. He was saying, before you can be a very good classical composer, you have to be a klezmer, or you have to know the popular idioms. You know, like Brahms had also that in mind, or Mahler. They took popular tunes and put them into, you know, compose on them. And my father was very, like, I guess, a proletarian. And for him, each composer added a brick to a huge construction, you know, which is the art of classical music.
And the story involves these two lovers and obstacles that are keeping them apart.
Yes.
In the form of his uncle, who wants to marry her. So it's a very engaging story. And
you
have sympathies immediately for these young lovers, and you want them to be together. And so it's a great story, and it's beautiful music. It's very lyrical and emotional. And
I love it, of course.
Yeah.
One word about the libretto, since you kindly said you love the story. You know, the librettist was Fritz Lunebera, just a fantastic librettist, very prolific, you know, writer. Even after he was arrested, my father left right after the Anschluss, which is the annexation of Austria by Nazi Germany on March 13, 1938. And my father marched into Universal Edition, his publisher, and there were two Nazis who said, "Hi, Hitler." And he told us he didn't say anything. And the next thing he did is pack his suitcase and go. And he's told Fritz Lunebeda, who was his mentor and the person who helped him get into get the premiere at the Zurich Opera House, go. And Beda, as they called him in the business, said, "I can't. I have my young twin daughters and my wife. I can't." So, you know, he was arrested shortly after. And even in the camps, he composed. So he was a fantastic librettist and lyricist. So My father never replaced him. After the war, I remember, you know, he spoke German with my mother, who was from Munich. So I didn't understand. I would just often hear Beda, ach, you know. And so my father, post-war, composed his own libretto and lyrics and et cetera.
So what was life like for you growing up? You were born in what country?
In France, way, way later. Because my father, you know, met my mother. My mother was much younger than him, and they met after the war. And so my mother was a refugee from Munich. her and her family survived, but she had, you know, health issues because of starvation while she was a kid and teenager. So we came, my sister and I came later, and we, the way I knew my father, he was at the back of the house in his piano room composing, you know, and we'd hear, and, you know, his style drastically changed post-war, pre-war, boom, in 3 weeks, he composed Polnische Hochzeit. Post-war, you know, like Mitternachtssonne, the opera I mentioned, or La Polonaise de Napoléon, which means Napoleon's Polish lady. He composed those like in like 10 years and, you know, really like refined the styles.
You've been spending many years now promoting his work and trying to bring it to the public's attention. And yeah. You're having a lot of success now. When did you decide to start working on publicizing his work?
Okay, so I was just studying my, you know, the standard repertoire, and my father was alive, so his music was his thing, you know, and he was very actually refusing anybody's help, composing all the time, you know, in his room. And so after his passing, my mother just said, we have to get that music out there. So she started to contact people any way she could. And at some point, I realized, you know, wow, there's music there, and, you know, maybe there's music here that I could sing. And so I had broken my arm. I was at home pouting, you know, in Nice, and my ex said, well, why don't we look at that music? And make a long story short, I put it together into a recital format, and the first recital was at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. You know, Brett Werb heard the music, and he was like, let's help. You know, he wanted to help. And I started to do concerts I did a concert in Vienna, you know, in Berlin, internationally, to try to rouse attention. At some point, my mother said, let's get a publisher. So I wrote to four people, and then one publisher in Vienna who is like a major, wonderful publisher called Doblinger Musik Verlag, just took a chance on a virtually unknown composer and said, you know, let's do it.
So what was the music that made you think, oh, this is wonderful music and nobody knows about it?
Yes, the post-war, you know, what I had heard from my childhood, what he composed post-war.
Polonaise and Mitternachtssonne.
Which means Midnight Sun.
Okay.
Midnight Sun. And those are the melodies that I have, you know, in my soul and in my veins, you know.
So those were the melodies that kind of made you think, my goodness, this is beautiful music and nobody knows about it. And then when did you discover the Polish Wedding?
Basically, my mother, who was, you know, very, you know, like my father's everything, and among others, his librarian, and kept all the music, you know, when I shared with her my wish, you know, saying, is there music you think that would fit me? She said, well, here it is. And so that's when I remember, let me think, I'm remembering. That's when we found, you know, there is a gorgeous duet in Polish wedding, Polnische Hochzeit, called Schenk mir das Himmelreich, Grant Me the Kingdom of Heaven, the duet between the two young lovers when they reunite at last.
So when you heard this duet from Polish wedding, do you remember what you thought?
Well, I just, you know, you cry, you know, it's just so gorgeous, and you can feel, you just, like you said, you can feel his soul there, you know. And some of the words, I believe he probably helped Fritz Lenebeda. They got together, he would play the piano and Beda would, you know, and so he would say, well, how does that fit the music, you know? So some of the lyrics I know are my father's words, because I would hear them, tell them to my mother.
Why was this music forgotten?
Because my father, great question, and very simple, my father forbade it from being played. He was just, you know, my father was very, when he didn't want something, that was it. He gave his veto.
He forbade it from being played.
Yes.
Why do you think that was? It was too painful?
Yes, great question. I mean, you know, I remember him once, he was very humble. He would never mention all the glamour and all the fame that he had seen as a young man. Just bits and pieces, very few. And one of them was what I told you about the poll, the newspapers he would see every day, a review. But other than that, I think, you know, and, you know, you've heard of survivor's guilt, I'm sure. You know, he tried to save his parents. He wrote even an entire opera as a ghostwriter while he was in a hotel in Paris, which was played at the Zurich Opera House, and sent all the money to his parents in Poland. But, you know, they were confiscated. Nothing reached them. So it's a great question. One little bit of you know, interesting detail is that it was played without his permission in Scandinavia. You know, up to, like, somebody wrote when the age of internet started and I did a website on my father, I suddenly got an email from somebody in Finland, a pianist, Jussi Fremling, who said, wait a minute, your father's Jaja's aria is fantastic. And it was sung by some big soprano he played for. It was played in Sweden, in Norway, in Finland. And in Finland, according to my pianist contact, up till like maybe 5-10 years ago.
So then Polish Wedding became part of your effort to publicize his music.
Here's the deal. When the publisher took over, it's very hard to get somebody who wants to take a, you know, somebody who is not known, because they have to make money. So they basically took out the contract Polnische Hochzeit and Stradella. You see, Polnische Hochzeit has a track record. It was played everywhere, a huge success. Richard Tauber was going to sing it. And it's the easiest thing to market to start with. It's just the start of a grand revival project. My mother, of course, met my father post-war and knows the gorgeous, just genius operas he wrote post-war. And that's where she has her heart on, and me too, is to see the maturity work recognized and played everywhere. But we have to start with Polnische Hochzeit, which is...
This is the beginning.
Yes! Brava!
Yeah.
Tip of the iceberg, I always say.
Well, thanks so much.
You.
It's been really fun to talk to you.
Thank you. I've had a blast.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.